Hi, this is Penny Eichinger from Melbourne, Australia. And I'm listening to Melting Pot with Annie from Marseille.
This is Texas Terry, and you're listening to Melting Pot with Annie from Marseille. So listen up, baby.
Good morning, guten tag, bonjour, welcome to Melting Pod, sound and colors from the planet Marseille.
I've been living with this heartache since you went away. A little moment's getting so high, so high, baby.
October 27, 2010, I have the great pleasure to propose you an interview with Beck Girl, an Australian rock band. In fact, I met them first time in Berlin last summer in front of one of my favorite punk rock club, Wide at Heart. They were talking with Texas Terry, who introduced me to them. The connection was very friendly. And 1 month later, they came and played in Marseille at Entropy, and we planned that interview. Tonight I am with
Clino
and
Amber.
What are you doing in France?
Trying very hard to have a good time.
Playing some rock and roll,
having some amazing French wine, and hanging out with good friends.
You did something else in a venue tonight?
Yes. We played a show in Entropy.
It was a great show with the very good people who were there.
Yeah, it was very cool. We had a small problem with the volume, but that doesn't matter. It's not.
That's right.
There was a lot of good people there, but there was a fucking lot of bunch of assholes too.
No, it was great. We had a good time, and it's good people. It's good to be in Marseille. It's good to be near the beach, and it's good to play some rock and roll around the world.
Where are you playing after Marseille?
In Nice. And as we'd say in Australia, nice.
But after nice.
Nice.
You see.
Italy.
Italy. A whole bunch of shows there. And then Germany. And then we're in the USA for about 6 weeks. And then who knows after that? Maybe Brazil. Maybe Europe.
Maybe Australia.
Maybe Australia.
Maybe Japan. Maybe, I don't know. We'll wait and see.
You are not prepared to go back to Australia?
Maybe in summer. It's always good to go home to Australia around summertime, which is Christmas and New Year, and meet people, meet friends, have
a Christmas dinner,
festival, party, yeah.
and celebrate New Year's and go to the beach. And, and when it gets cold again, we come back to Europe.
But can you tell me a little your story? How did you meet each other?
Well, I met him when I was about 2.5 years old when it came flying. No, sorry, this is my brother.
Yeah. Did you meet her?
I can't remember the first time I met her.
When he came flying at her, like, and that's when he first met me.
Yeah, and my mum gave birth to me. I met Amber. Yeah,
I was there going, yay, got a baby brother. Sick.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I don't know our first memory together, but, you know, we grew up liking the same music because, you know, to clear all this up, we're our brother and sister.
Yeah, sorry to be ridiculous or diggerless. Clinton is my brother, so
yeah.
I'm older than him, so I met him when he was born.
Yeah. And, I don't know, our first couple of memories was enjoying rock and roll together. And
actually, my first memory of, like, my whole life was, like, running down the hospital hallway to meet you.
Really?
See, yes.
I don't even know that. Isn't that nice?
When did you decide to form a band together?
I think we were about, Amber was 10, I was about 8. But we didn't pursue.
We had an forming. Air band.
Yeah.
And we air guitared. I was the air guitarist.
You had a broom?
He was the air drummer. And we predominantly jammed to In Excess Kick.
Yeah, we played In Excess. Well, we tried, pretended to play In Excess with no instruments, just air to our parents. That was our first concert. But we didn't start the band until like 20 years later, so. Well, not 20, 15, 10 years. 10 years later.
When did you play with a true instrument?
With an instrument?
Yeah.
Well, I started playing drums around 16, I think.
I was playing air guitar tonight.
It's not true.
It didn't sound like my amps were on.
Yeah, you couldn't hear anything.
I couldn't fucking hear
anything. You may as well call it air.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I was playing drums at 16, and then I think when I started playing together with you, it was a couple of years later. But you were playing guitar for a while then.
When did you start with the guitar?
My grandma gave me a Hawaiian guitar when I was 10. And it was really cool. The action was so high. And the only way I could play it was with like a
slide.
Yeah, a piece of flat metal, like Hawaiian style, like that. But I didn't know that was the technique. So I tried to play it like this. And so, of course, my fingers were totally ripped open. But anyway, 2 years later, I got myself a nice, cheap Onyx guitar. It's like a purple Starburst guitar.
It's like a glam rock guitar.
Yeah, so I started really playing when I was 12. So it was very good at the time. It was a life-changing moment. I saved up all my pocket money, and I bought a guitar and amp for like $300. And it was good. Yeah.
In Australia, where are you based? Close to Sydney?
Yeah, close to Sydney, about 100 kilometres south of Sydney, a town called Wollongong. Sorry, Wollongong.
It's on the beach. It's a lot like if you can compare it to the coast from, like, of France, the coast of Spain, the coast of Italy. It's all, like, on the beach, beautiful mountains and trees. And
it's a blue mountain, no?
The Blue Mountains. Yeah, they're not on the beach, but they're like a little bit further in, and they're amazing. And they have great nature and wildlife and birds and beautiful weather, and it's just a great place to just be and hang out and
for a bushwalk and get lost.
Yeah.
Who are your favourite musician in Australia?
Oh, wow.
In Australia?
I think when it comes to our total favourite bands, probably our friends that we play with at home, like independent bands, independent rock bands like Baby Machine and High Test. High Test just did a European tour here with Nick Oliveri and Mondo Generator. They were his backup band. Very cool people. And, a lot of hometown rock and roll. There's a lot of really good stuff, like a Tumbleweed, Monstrous Blues.
Mm.
But outside of that, probably stuff that you guys have heard of.
Yeah, all the stuff that existed when the pub rock scene in Australia was really doing well, because there was pubs on every corner with bands playing 3 hours a night, and you'd have bands play four shows a night in every city going to different pubs, and that was the best time for Australian rock and roll. And there's bands, you know, like even AC/DC back then were doing that, and there's Rose Tattoo, AC/DC, The Angels, The Saints, all those bands. And then it kind of tried to have a revival. It's still having a revival in Melbourne, but especially around the 90s, and the Powder Monkeys kept it going. And they're, to me, they're great heroes. They're an amazing band.
Well, I'm a big fan. Also, clearly, you know, it's like Rose Tattoo, of course. They're our heroes. One of my favourite bands in Australia, the Divinyls. And if anyone hasn't heard them, they bloody well should, because Chrissy Amplant is one of the best front people around in the world, and some great songwriters.
She existed in that pub scene too.
Yeah, hell yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. And really, the stuff from the 80s is really cool. Like,
Sherbet.
That's the 70s, but they're all right. Let's go with Sherbet. And Bon Scott, of course, is a hero. He's God. Is everything. James Rain, fucking bloody Cold Chisel. There's a bloody band that you should listen to.
Yeah.
Australian Crawl.
Yeah, and anything from that time when they were just giving their all, and the pubs were filled with people, and I don't think we'll ever see that again.
And then you got like Hard-Ons and Cosmic Psychos. Did we say this already?
No, but they're the bands that are still keeping it going.
Radio Burning.
We have some fans in France from the Cosmic Psychos.
Yes, we do. And New Christ.
Just basically the stuff that they play anywhere. Anywhere there's like a bar and there's booze being served, and there's like a little area where they can set up and just play loud, and that's the emphasis. Play loud.
Go to the Union Hotel on King Street in Newtown and just put some money in the jukebox and have a really good time.
Yeah,
and that's Australiana right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to play loud?
Fucking oath! I want to fucking play loud. Oh,
fuck off. The thing is, you have to play loud because the guitar amplifiers won't speak the truthful way rock and roll will, any other way but loud.
Rock and roll is supposed to be loud, so is punk rock, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, we're feeling very oppressed tonight, and that gives me the fucking shits. Everyone's ears should be bleeding by the end of the show.
Yeah. What?
My ears should be bleeding.
Yeah, that's...
That's rock and roll. That's like Australian rock and roll. You have to walk away with cicadas in your head going crazy.
Across the sky, thunder crashing all through the-
thing. Like, so many rock and roll bands complain about not being able to achieve the ultimate recording. The main, because they can't sound like how they sound live, but the main problem is the way you, someone in the audience hears a concert live is their ears are fucked because it's so loud. And that's the reason why you can't achieve it in the studio, because you can't record that. You can't get that sound of your ears being blown out from an explosive sound. So that's why a live sound that is loud is important and is the only way we'd like to play.
Why did you choose only to play in duo? Because when you play guitar, you play like a lead guitar and a bass guitar.
Yeah.
And for you, maybe it's more difficult, no?
I think you have to approach it differently, being two people. Like, I've always been a bassist in bands before Bug Girl. So this is my first band where I have played guitar. So it's kind of new and exciting. And I think that writing for a two-piece is different to, like, playing guitar in a four-piece band, you know, where you do have bass as support or a rhythm guitar as support. You know, you have to kind of compose differently. You've got to think about rhythm guitar, lead, and bass. You kind of think traditionally and classically, in a rock and roll sense. does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so, you know.
You choose to preserve the complicity with your brother. It's maybe more important to be in fusion with the both personalities than to have more instrument.
Yeah, I agree. I think what this band is about is more like the energy. It's not about, you know, we get the question, oh, you don't have a bass, you're not a real band, or you don't have a rhythm guitar, how can you be a real band? But it's not about that. If people don't get that, it's they're missing the point. It's just about the energy of rock and roll. It's about the energy of, well, just, you know, having a good time. It's about blues. It's about emotion. It's about energy.
Yeah. It's an energy, and it's like if there's a crowd there and they're listening to the music and the music's giving off the same energy that a band has with 10 people, 2 people, 1 person, it's just a giving of energy between the audience and the band, and that's sweaty, it's dirty, it's beer, it's like everyone's going crazy. That's rock and roll. It doesn't have to be a certain amount of instruments.
Brother and sister during the show, but I was surprised for your complicity because it was clear that there was a fusion. When you play guitar, it was the arm above the drum, and I say, how is possible that such fusion? And maybe it's the blood fusion.
It is.
I think a lot of the best bands that we know have siblings, you know, it's like what? Like Sepultura, Heart, Van Halen, Pantera, AC/DC, of course.
ABBA.
ABBA. No, there's no siblings there.
Oh, they're just, like, they just root each other.
yeah, it's not. Yeah, that's something else completely.
Okay.
That doesn't matter.
You don't have to go through the list.
Whatever, but play that game. Play the game like what brothers and sisters exist in rock bands, and write yourself a list and you'll be amazed. It's a good trivia question. But I think that's important. It's important because, you know, you grow up listening to the same music, and when you come to writing music and performing, then there's a lot of unspoken stuff that goes along with that. You know, you don't have to talk about what you want to do next. You just do it, and you instinctively know where you're coming from. So I really like that. That's really cool. So
yeah.
I like what we have here. It's cool.
Yeah. It's especially good that it doesn't fit in with the rules of what you have to be a band. Because, you know, you can go and look at a painting or anything and it can be exactly the expression of the artist. And in this case, the artist is two people. So if you're going to like it, you will understand what we're doing. But if you're not going to like it, we'll go and enjoy your life in another way.
I think the theme that we keep coming back to is this strange kind of negative energy, which we really don't generally project, but we had an interesting show tonight, as you know, a show that was supposed to be kind of anarchistic, you know, so it's supposed to be punk, and we felt very oppressed tonight, which is a strange contradiction, you know. It's like we were welcomed into a place of punk and rock, and we're told to turn down the amps, and yeah, I don't know. It was a very strange night for
us.
It's
like telling someone who's painting, like they're doing a show, they're painting. It's like, oh, don't use your paintbrush because you're not supposed to. And it's like, well, no, like that's the way I paint. It's like, oh, we're playing rock and roll. We play loud. Don't tell us to play soft.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's the way we're doing our art or whatever.
Yeah. Our music is supposed to be loud, and tonight it wasn't, so we're very sad about that. Yeah. My amps ended up being, like, softer than an acoustic. It felt like lamer than Kumbaya. Seriously.
That's okay. We're happy to be in Marseille.
We're happy to be with these people here because these people are wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, what we hear, it was loud.
Yeah, but not fucking loud enough.
I hope you have to come back. Is the answer?
Yes, we will. Yeah,
we.
Thank you a lot.
Yes, we really want to come back to Marseille and play with this amazing band called Vaginal Liquid.
So can I say?
Je parle pas anglais.
Dégueulasse dans la culotte.
Dégueulasse dans la culotte. Track me in the dirt, don't make it hurt. Turn in the sky. Leave me hot time, leave me satisfied. Down in the sky. Keep your money, just pay my honey. I like the death. Down in the sky.
The end of this podcast, we finish with the French translation of that song titled Dirty in the Skirt. I hope you like that interview. You can react and write your comments on MeltingPod, www.meltingpod.com. You will find links to the band and the set list. Deep fried apple wine. Oh baby, I'm hitting the red. Dirty skirt.
My name's Clino, I'm the drummer, and the battery man from Bug Girl, and this is the other half.
I'm Amber, and I'm a drunken idiot. We're Bago, and you are listening to Melting Pod.
Pod.
Yes, you are. Annie from Marseille.
Oh, with Annie from Marseille.
In the back of a truck,
dirt in the skirt.
When you're having no luck,
dirt in the skirt.
In the back of my car,
dirt in the skirt.
Bring your grandma. 669, party time. That's the number of a damn good town. Dirt in the skirt.
So after a long break due to health issues, I am back and I can just say bye, tschüss, au revoir, à la prochaine fois, and stay connected.
Cox from Rose Tattoo, and I'm with Annie from Marseille.
No.
Do you know what I'm there?
I'm listening to Melting Pod.
I'm listening to Melting Pod. You're listening to Melting Pod.
No, you.
I'm not listening, I'm talking.
Yes. Next time you listen to Melting Pod.
Okay.
Yeah, you go on the internet, meltingpod.com.
Okay. Give me the microphone. Huh? Hi, I'm Mick Cox from Rose Tattoo, and you're listening to Melting Pod with Annie from Marseille.
The most beautiful girl in the world.
The most beautiful girl in the world. Now put your clothes back on, Annie.